Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Yeah. yeah, 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 I am
Greetings! My lecture today is Buddhism and Africa. While racism is America's original sin, racism is also Buddhism's original sin. We black Buddhists should no longer subject ourselves to the racist Japanese sects who make themselves superior by extricating all black history from Buddhism. In this lecture, we show that our black ancestors of Egypt, Ethiopia, Nubia, and Abyssinia practiced Buddhism. Buddhism was in Africa 1,000 years before Buddhism ever got to Japan. We are Nichiren Buddhists who follow the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, who taught that the Lotus Sutra was the highest of his teachings. Let me share a black view of Nichiren Buddhism. Nichiren writing is called the Gosho. In the Gosho, the three Tathagata masters pray for rain. Nichiren writes, quote, "These non-Buddhist teachings came about through a mistaken reading of various sutras of the Buddhas who preceded Shakyamuni Buddha," unquote. Nichiren teaches the fact that there were Buddhas and sutras in the world before Shakyamuni Buddha. British historian Sir Godfrey Higgins writes in his 1833 book, The Anacletus, quote, "The elder Buddha is Hermes Trismegistus," and he says in the book, The Anacletus, on page 5, it says, what? Quote, "The learned Maurice entertain no doubts that the elder Buddha of India is no other than the elder Hermes Trismegistus of Egypt, and that the original character is of the Antediluvian race. Let me share with you an absolute and scientific assessment of Buddhism or Buddhist teachings that I've learned from many of my Japanese teachers. Specifically, when you learn Buddhism from the STI, Nichiren Shoshu, and Nichiren Shu, you are going to get a shallow or a racist or myopic view of Buddhism. Let me cite why the Japanese view or views of Buddhism is myopic. Japan is a nation of Mahayana Buddhists. Mahayana Buddhism is a time in history when Buddhism was separated by race, culture, and language. And the way that the Japanese teach Buddhism, most Japanese teach Buddhism in a way or with a practice that extricates all black history from Buddhism. This is why you will never hear anything about Buddhism in Africa, because the Sanskrit teachings extricated all of the black history from Buddhism. Let me put this in a clear and common sense terms about Japanese Buddhist teachers whom I learned Buddhism from originally. The SGI, Nichiren Shoshu, Nichiren Shu, make a clear and concerted effort to remove black history from Buddhism. Now, let's go into history and give you a different view. The father of history is Herodotus. He was born in 484 BC and died 425 BC. This puts Shakyamuni Buddha about 150 years before the birth of the father of history. Now, Herodotus writes, quote, "There were two Ethiopians, one east of the Red Sea and one west of the Red Sea. The Greek historian Homer lived around 800 BC, or 150 years before the Buddha Shakyamuni was born. Homer wrote that India was called Eastern Ethiopia. Ethiopia is a Greek word that means burnt or dark skin. Science proves that the ancient India civilization was the Harappan culture or the Indus Valley civilization. Science and archaeology proves that there was never any white or Caucasian people who ever lived in the Harappan culture. The reason we bring this point is because Japanese sects like the SGI, Nichiren Shoshu, and Nichiren Shu teach in their teachings about the Asian invasion theory, I'm sorry, the Aryan invasion theory. If there was such a thing as an Aryan invasion in ancient times, India would not have been known as Eastern Ethiopia. Ancient India was Eastern Ethiopia because India and Egypt were the land of black people. Herodotus writes about India, and he says, quote, "All the tribes I mentioned, their skins are all the same color, much like the Ethiopians." Now, this is in the history of Herodotus. Now, Thorius, The Greek historian in 100 B.C. writes, and up upon his return to Greece, they gathered around and asked, tell us about the great land of the blacks called Ethiopia. And Herodotus said, there are two great nations, one in Sidon, which is India, and the other, Egypt. Blacks not only lived in Ethiopia, blacks lived in India, in both India and Egypt, and blacks were Buddhists. Many Japanese and whites practiced racist revisionist history. Egypt is in Africa, and the name India means black. In Africa, some of the blacks are known as Nubians. And in India, the same blacks are known as Naga. British historian Godfrey Higgins writes, quote, the time has now arrived when it becomes proper to enter upon an examination of the doctrines of the celebrated Buddha of India, which were the foundations of all the mysticism of the Western nations. While Godfrey Higgins notes that Buddhism is the foundation of all of the mysticism of Western nations, Japanese, or some Japanese and whites, practice a Buddhist teaching that extricate black Buddhist history from their Buddhist teachings. The history of Buddha is the history of Egypt and all Western civilizations. We hold that understanding Buddhism in Africa is important. Ask the question of your Asian Buddhist teachers why we never hear about blacks, Africans, Ethiopians, Nubians, Anagas, and Buddhism. We ask why the Sanskrit Buddhist teachings remove all black history from Buddhism. The Buddhist religion is the religion of ancient blacks. In order to justify slavery in America, racist whites had to rewrite black people out of history and civilization. Some of us educated black people in America have a knowledge about what happened to black people in Egypt. What is rare to find in America or anywhere in the world is to find anyone who can connect the dots between Africa and India. What is important is the black people practicing Buddhism and the Nichiren sets of the SGI, Nichiren Shoshu, and Nichiren Shu. It is Nichiren Buddhism that connects us together. The Nichiren Buddhism taught by the SGI, Nichiren Shoshu, and Nichiren Shu is a racist Buddhism. However, the teachings of Nichiren Buddhism is the correct Buddhism for the latter day of the law. In America, where whites, blacks, and Japanese and others can come together and bring world peace. This can only happen when there is a true Buddhism absent of the racist Buddhist history. Now, one of the things I want to point out, I want you to see a picture of an Egyptian with the snake. The snake is called the Naga, and the Buddhists were Naga, and the Naga was in both Egypt and India. Notice that is the cobra. The cobra is not indigenous of Egypt. But in this lecture, we show that there was a close relationship between Egypt and India because they were one and the same Kushite or black people. Now, the father of history, Herodotus, wrote that there were two Ethiopias, India and Egypt. In common sense terms, these were black lands and black history. Let us read what Godfrey Higgins read again. He says, Colonel Franklin says, the learned Maurice entertains no doubt that the elder Buddha of India is none other than the elder Hermes Trismegistus of Egypt, and that the original character of the antediluvian race. In other words, in India and in Egypt, they both worship the elder Buddha, Hermes Trismegistus. Now, the young Buddha was Shakyamuni Buddha. Now, let us be clear that both the Indians and Egyptians both had the same Buddhist god of Hermes Trismegistus. Buddhism was practiced in India and Egypt long before there was a Shakyamuni Buddha. Again, let us look at what Nitrin Shonin writes about the matter. In the Go Show called The Three Tathagata Masters Pray for Rain, Nitrin writes, these non-Buddhist teachings came about through a mistaken reading of various sutras of Buddhas who preceded Shakyamuni Buddha. In India, the Brahmanism or the non-Buddhist teachings came about because of mistaken reading of various sutras of Buddhas who preceded Shakyamuni Buddha. Now, let's get back to Shakyamuni Buddha. Egyptian archaeologist Philander Petrie was an English Egyptologist and a pioneer of systematic methodology in archaeology and preservation of artifacts. He connected and found evidence in Egypt that connected Shakyamuni's Buddhism in Egypt to the Persian period. Now, let us get deep in explaining to you about Buddhism in Africa. Let us give you some absolute history about Buddhism in Africa. In the book, The Anacleptics, Godfrey Higgins writes, he says, quote, I suppose the Sherpa kings who conquered Egypt were the Rajapotes, or Buddhists of the country of Raja Bedouins from Rajasthan. The Israelites, as well as the royal separates, were both, in fact, Arab tribes also from Arabia on the Indus. From Raja and Put, or Buddhist Buddha, came the name of the country of Rajaputs, or royal Buddhists, a pont for the name Buddha. Now, please hear me very clear. No Daisaki Kater, high priest, or any black scholar has laid out Buddhist history like the way we're doing. Let me give you some absolute teachings of Buddhism. Egypt and India were both connected. There were Buddhists who came from India who conquered the Egyptians. Let us be clear. Buddhists came from India and they conquered the Egyptians. These Buddhists were called royal shepherds or shepherd kings. They also known as the Hyksos. Now, they're also known as Israelites, but they were Buddhists. Many blacks say that the original Jews were black and do not know about the original Buddhists. But the original Jews or the tribe of Judah were Buddhists from India. Now, What I want you to do is do a Google search on shepherd kings. They were Buddhists. The shepherd kings were called Hyksos. The Hyksos were black or Kushite people. The Hyksos came from India or the Indus area. Many white and Jews get upset because Afrocentrists tell correct black history. Now you got an African American, Anthony M. Elmore, who is bringing in the factor that most people don't know about, and that is the Buddhist factor. Now, I wrote this about many blacks who practice Buddhism with the SGI. You got blind stooges or those who are willfully ignorant. In many ways, it's easier to be dumb and follow a Daisaku Kata going around singing some song like sensei or teacher when you got a teacher that don't even teach anything from the standpoint of history as it relates to blacks. Let me add another bit of history to the story. The Buddhist shepherd kings came from India. One of the tribes is called the tribe of Judah. They were Buddhists. The shepherd kings from India went on to establish a land in Africa called Abyssinia. The land that they called Ethiopia were Abyssinians, and the Abyssinians came from India, and they were the shepherd kings. The shepherd kings is actually a part of my life. My wife, Bogalis, is from Abyssinia, or what they call today Ethiopia. The Ethiopians and the Dalits of Naga people in India are the same people. They call themselves the tribe of Judah. They are Naga people from India. They are the shepherd kings of the Hyksos who actually invaded Egypt. Now, let's get to some history. Now, Dr. Clyde Winters, an Afrocentric historian, writes this about the Naga people. He says, the Naga people, the ancient records, is called the Kibru Nagas. Naga, Nagas. Now, the ancient Ethiopians were Naga people. That's why they got a writing called the Kibru Nagas. Nagas is from Naga. The army kings who ruled India, the founders of the dynasty were Zar, Vesi, and Gabo. This dynasty, according to the Kibru Nagas, began around 370 BC. The rulers of India and Ethiopia were called Naga. The Kibru Nagas claims that Queen Makeda, that's the Queen of Sheba, had servants and merchants. They traded for her on land and in the Indies in Awa. It also says that her son, Ebna Hakim, or Menelik the One, made a campaign in the Indian Sea. The king of India made gifts and donations and prostrated himself before him. It is also said that Menelik ruled an empire that extended from the rivers of Egypt, that is, the Blue Nile, to the west and from the south shore to eastern India. According to the Kibru Nagas, the Kibru Nagas identification of an East Indian Empire ruled by the Naga corresponds to the Naga colonies in Deccan and on the east. In common sense terms, The Queen of Sheba, we know from Bible, rule hearts in Africa and India. This is called in history, this is called the Aksum Empire. If you look at the Ethiopians, they look like Indians because they were the original shepherd kings. Please make note that the language the so-called Aryans call Sanskrit came from the Ethiopian language of Ge'ez. Ge'ez is 4,000 years old, and this is the language of the Ethiopians because it is a black language, and the language of Sanskrit came from Ge'ez. Those of you who practice Buddhism with the Japanese sects, the Japanese practice a Buddhism that extricate black history and culture. Let me teach you about Buddhism in Africa. The way to learn about Buddhism in Africa, you must know the name of what the Buddhists were called. They were called Gymnosophists. It is outright shameful that black people who are being taught Buddhism by Asians do not know about the Gymnosophists. Gym means naked and sophist means philosopher. When you Google the word, you will learn that they are naked priests from India who lived in Ethiopia. The whole of the space between the Nile and Abyssinia and northward to Lower Egypt once constituted Ethiopia. It was called Belasuran, land of blacks, once Egypt extended to Lower Nubia. The ancient kingdom of Mero was Upper Nubia and was divided into agricultural and grazing lands. Herodotus, this is the father of history, speaks of Mero as the cradle of Gymnosophist Buddhists. Philostrophus, in the life of Apollonius and Jerome, writes that the Gymnosophist of Cush, who settled near the Nile, he further states, having been forced to migrate after the murder of their king. Let us connect the dots of Buddhism having a Buddhist having to flee Moro. Now, in other lectures I told you in 184 BC, the black Moorian ruler by the name of Brihadatta was killed in broad daylight by the Brahmin general Pushmitra. Who the Brahmin? When the Brahmins took over in India, they put 100 pieces of gold on the head of any Buddhist priest. The Buddhists had to flee India. Now, once Pushmitra got into power in India, he put a bounty out of 100 pieces of gold, and he began to kill all of the Buddhists. In fact, the Buddhists had to go and leave India because they were killing off all of the Buddhists. This is when Buddhism changed in India in 184 BC. Now, what or where the Buddhists in India went, they went to home. They left India and many of them moved to the great land of Nubia in Moro, right in Egypt on the Nile River, right there near Memphis, the capital of Egypt, Moro, and the land of Nubia. The land of Nubia where Herodotus had said the culture of the great Mecca of Buddhism. They were not called Buddhists. They were called gymnosophists, and they were living in Miro. When those Buddhists left India, they went and found a home with their other brothers. They were called Naga in India, and they were called Nubians in Nubia. And the ancient religion of the blacks in Nubia was Buddhism. Now, what I want to show you, I want you to look at the temple. It's called the Lion Temple at Naga Sadan in Nubia. We see conclusive archaeological evidence of Shakyamuni's Buddhism, because what we see at this temple, we see the lotus flower coming, you see the Naga snake coming up out of the lotus flower. And when you see this coming out of the lotus flower, that is an Asokan edict, because from 2069 BC to 232, when King Asoka was living, he sent edicts and he made communication. And we see the Asoka edict at the Lion's Temple in Nubia and at Naga Sadan. So we have given you literary, archaeological, historical evidence of Buddhism in Africa. Now, let's bring this lecture to a conclusion. We believe we have presented the most comprehensive evidence, but let's bring this lecture to a close. Now, remember, in 29 BC, they had the Fourth Buddhist Council in Ceylon, which is now called Sri Lanka, where the Buddhists got together. And at the Fourth Buddhist Council, they put together the largest religious work in the history of any kind of religion, 11 times larger than the Bible. They created a work called the Pali Canon. The Pali Canon was written in the Pali language, Upanishad, or Pali language. This was not Sanskrit. Sanskrit wasn't even invented yet. This happened in 29 BC and so on. And the most concrete evidence of Buddhism in Africa is in the Pali Canon, because in the Vinaya Pitaka, they wrote about the Vlamyas. The Vlamyas were the Nubians who made such an impact that it was put in the Pali Canon. So we have conclusive evidence in Buddhist writings that Buddhism was in Africa, because it's in the Pali Canon and the Vinaya Pitaka. There's nothing wrong with black Buddhists. They were Buddhists. They were black. It's nothing wrong with that. It was not until AD that they started the caste system, because a group of people who had mean spirits started a Buddhism called Mahayana. It was based on skin color. They started this low-down caste system. They rechanged history. They rewrote history, and they started a new Buddhism. In the 13th century in Japan, a man who identified himself as a Chandela, Nichiren Shonin, went and found out what was going on in Japan. And he says, what has happened is this is the wrong Buddhism. And he challenged all of the Mahayana Buddhism in Japan. And he says, only the Lotus Sutra is the true Mahayana or correct Buddhism. All the other Buddhisms was considered Hinayana Buddhism. My name is Anthony Elmore, and we have given you a lecture on Buddhism in Africa. And these are my words. I found myself a brand new mission to help others make a big decision. I bring to you a smooth, smart religion. It's not the religion that you expect. It's all about the law of cause and effect. Devotion to the wisdom of the cause and effect teaching. We bring to you a wisdom preaching.
I found myself a brand new mission to help others.
Hi everyone, I hope everyone listening to me right now is in a high life condition. I'm sure you must have heard this term Nammyoho Ringe Kyon through your friends, family or even social media, but you really do not know what it is. Today we'll be understanding 8 different topics in order to know what Nammyoho Ringe Kyon is. Let's begin with the history. Siddhartha Gautama, or commonly known as the Buddha, was a philosopher, a meditator, a spiritual teacher, and a religious leader who lived in ancient India. He is known as the founder of the world religion of Buddhism. His teachings are based on his insight into suffering and the end of suffering. Because he understood the law of life, he is known as the awakened one or the enlightened one. Shakyamuni, or the Buddha, spent all his life in search of the reasons of suffering and how he can free people from suffering. Shakyamuni, or the Buddha, spent many years of his life in search of the reasons of suffering and how he can free people from the inevitable pain caused from those suffering. Shakyamuni, or the Buddha, discovered that the capacity to transform suffering or the potential to gain enlightenment was already inherited within his own life. Therefore, he understood that this potential or this capacity is also inherited within all living beings. As we all know, there are various teachings by Shakyamuni. Shakyamuni preached all of his teachings to his followers. The disciples of Buddha then adapted all of these teachings into their lives. As we all are aware of the fact that there are different types of Buddhism and there are different Buddhist schools, the differentiation is a result of the perception or the teaching that they have adapted. The sole aim of all these teachings is to gain enlightenment. So out of all these teachings, one such teaching by Shakyamuni or the Buddha is the Lotus Sutra, the strategy of the Lotus Sutra, which in Japanese is rendered as Myoho Ringe Kyon. That is how the Lotus Sutra was originated by the Shakyamuni. Moving ahead, let's know what Nichiren Daishonin Buddhism is and who was Nichiren Daishonin. Nichiren Daishonin was a 13th century Japanese monk who, in search of the essence of Buddhism, declared that the heart of Shakyamuni's enlightenment is to be found in the Lotus Sutra. This Lotus Sutra encapsulates the mystic law or truth to which the Buddha had awakened. Nichiren defined this law as Nammyoho Ringe Kyon. Nichiren Daishonin Buddhism is a branch of Mahayana Buddhism. The most essential aspect of this Buddhism is the undertaking the practice of chanting Nammyoho Ringe Kyon, accompanied by selected recitals of Lotus Sutra and study of Nichiren writings, which are known as Gosho. The heart of Nichiren Daishonin in Buddhism is to believe that all human beings are the Buddhas, therefore have the potential to attain Buddhahood and to eradicate sadness and suffering and to become a person of supreme happiness while attaining enlightenment. You do not have to give up on your religious beliefs that you are brought up with. This is a practice. The enlightenment is attained by chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. And what do we mean by Nam-myoho Renge Kyo? Since all the human beings have the capability and the unlimited potential within themselves to attain Buddhahood, therefore they can overcome any hardship, difficulty or problems in life. By chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, we activate this potential within ourselves. So let's understand the meaning of Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. First, Nam. Nam is to dedicate or devote oneself. To what? Devoting or dedicating oneself to the wonderful or the mystic law of cause and effect. Myo is the mystic or wonderful, Ho is the law. Which law? The law of cause and effect. The reason it is mystic is because it is beyond our intellect to understand. Renge literally means the lotus flower. As we all know, lotus is a flower that grows in a muddy water and it becomes pure and fragrant. Therefore, the beauty and dignity of a life is brought forth amidst the suffering of the daily reality. So we all are living in a world of suffering and we have to emerge like that lotus flower. Kyo literally means the sutra, and here it indicates the mystic law of the Lotus Sutra. So whenever I'm saying Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, it's like I'm dedicating or devoting myself to the wonderful law of cause and effect, or I'm devoting myself to the mystic law of the Lotus Sutra. Nam-myoho Renge Kyo is thus like a vow, like a promise, like a determination that I embrace and manifest my Buddha nature. I will bring forth my compassion and wisdom which will solve my issues, and once they do, I am going to start the chain of helping as many people as I can. This is again understanding the meaning of Nam-myoho Renge Kyo but in a deeper sense. Everyone has the power of attaining Buddhahood or enlightenment. We are awakened to this power of ourselves by chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. And by awakening, it makes us achieve happiness and fulfill our problems in prayer. By inculcating the practice of chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo on a daily basis is a practical way to transform our lives. We can attain Buddhahood or enlightenment within our respective form, so we do not have to quit our jobs, we do not have to quit the religious beliefs that we are brought up with, we do not have to give up on anything. We can just attain enlightenment by being in a respective form. For example, I am a Hindu, I follow all the rituals that are there in Hinduism, I go to temples, I perform fasting. At the same time, I practice Nichiren Daishonin Buddhism. I do not have to change myself. People who practice Nichiren Daishonin Buddhism do not idolize Nichiren Daishonin. We just simply imbibe his teachings into our daily lives for our betterment. Understanding karma is our fifth topic of discussion. Ho in Nam-myoho Renge Kyo is the law of cause and effect, commonly known as karma. Every action has a reaction or a consequence, which is why we say we reap what we sow. Karma can be both positive and negative. So the good things happening in our life right now are a result of the good deeds that we have created in the past. However, the bad things, or rather the difficulties or the problems, are a result of the negative karma created by us. Therefore, by chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, one can expiate the effects of negative karma in his life. Expiate here means to make amends or repair. So by chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, we can reduce the effects that the negative karma is going to cause in our lives. I'm sure we all have come across a situation wherein we asked ourselves questions like, why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve it? It's happening again. It's so annoying. So Nichiren Daishonin in Buddhism helps us to understand how we can take charge of our karma and we can break out from it. Sixth point of discussion is to understand the benefits of chanting Namyoho Renge Kyo, or what happens exactly once we chant Namyoho Renge Kyo. The mystic law transforms the life for betterment, for good. It is the life-changing philosophy. Second, just like the lotus flower, we can all become pure and fragrant. The third and the fourth point focuses on the activation of the unlimited potential that we have. So by chanting Namyoho Renge Kyo, we tap on to that unlimited potential within ourselves. It is a practice whereby one holds oneself responsible for one's fate. Not just the destiny waiting for us, but the one that we can create for ourselves. Thus, you can unlock your highest potential. You can break out from any negative karma. You can expiate your karma. Practitioners testify that while chanting Namyoho Renge Kyo, they have had positive experiences, they have manifested their desires and prayers. How do you chant? So you sit in the most comfortable position, either on the floor or on a chair or on the bed. Just face a blank wall. The reason why you face a blank wall is to not get distracted by the decorative items on the wall. This will ensure your focus. Start chanting Namyoho Renge Kyo in a voice that is audible to you, in a speed that is comfortable to you. Also, I will be sharing a link in the description box wherein you can see the exact way the practitioners chant. How to get connected. See, if you want to chant in your room at your house, it's completely fine. But if you wish to chant with fellow members in a group or get connected, you can become a member of SGI, Soka Gakkai International. Every country has its own. Every country, Brazil, India, Australia, UK, US, every country has its own organization of regulating this practice. These are the three presidents of Soka Gakkai International, Sunisaburo Makiguchi first, second Josai Toda, third and the current Daisaku Ikeda. If you already know somebody from your circle who is in their practice, you can surely get connected to them. If you do not know anyone, I would suggest you to put a WhatsApp story or a WhatsApp status link wherein you can ask for some connection, and I'm sure there will be somebody in your contact list who is already a member. Now if this thing also doesn't work out, please let me know. I will see and try my level best to help you out. So thank you so much for watching this video. Please share it with somebody who you know wants to chant or who wants to know about this practice, who wants to know more about Namyoho Renge Kyo. Or even if you want to shakabuku or introduce anybody, you can surely take the help of this video. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right, guys. Greetings. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of the Motivational Classroom, guys. I am your host, Rule 7 Oracle. And as you guys always know, I'm joined by the Ear Family, as always. So today, guys, first, let me say thank you for your patience, y'all. The order of the day, you know, when it comes to the Motivational Classroom is that a lot of times we're students as well, you know. We don't always like to go off of our own, you know, understanding or our own teachings. You know, a lot of times, you know, we like to just sit back and listen to other perspectives as well and then, you know, merge that and marry that into, you know, an ultimate solution. You know what I'm saying? So it's very thank you for, you know, being here with us. We definitely appreciate you guys as always. So what we're going to be talking about today is sound and crystal healing, right? So what is sound healing, guys? A lot of you guys know about the singing bowls. A lot of you guys, I don't know if you, a lot of you listen to instrumentals, but instrumentals is very healing. That is one of my favorites to do. Like when I wake up in the morning, you know, and do my rituals and set the stage, set the tone, you know, I may listen to a lecture or I may instrumentals, okay? The violins, the drums. Eternal is a drummer, you guys. Eternal knows a lot about sound healing. I'm getting into sound healing on the level, the many different levels of sound healing. The first intro that you heard to come in, to bring in the broadcast, Eternal Roots Band, I believe. Eternal Roots Band is Eternal himself. If you're no stranger, you know Eternal is part of the Ear team. And we're here every weekend, guys. So, it's a band, him and a few other brothers, you know, they drum, you know, and they're doing such great, amazing things in Virginia. I think it's Norfolk, Virginia, if I'm not mistaken, but they're doing wonderful things, guys, in Virginia. So if you're local in the Virginia area, be sure to hook up with Brother Eternal there in the Norfolk, Virginia. He'll correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're local in Virginia, guys, please make sure you contact Eternal. You can go to our website, www.enhancingawarenessradio.net, and all of Eternal's information is going to be there. Go under Meet the Team, you know what I mean? Or you can contact, email me, anything. You can emailing me is emailing, you know, everyone, you know what I mean? Because the message is going to get to them as well. And everything is in the show notes for you guys. But if you're on our website, go under Meet the Team, and when you go under Meet the Team, you'll see Eternal's picture there, and his website is there, Virginia Beach. All right, Virginia Beach, Virginia, okay? So if you're local in the Virginia Beach, Virginia area, guys, please be sure to link up with Brother Eternal. He does amazing work there with the sound healing. I feel that he's well-known in the community when it comes to the drumming and when it comes to the herbal wellness center, you know. So, Pete Eternal, we're going to go ahead and bring you in. So, guys, thank you for joining us. Sound healing and crystal healing is what we're talking about today. We definitely thank you to the listeners who always listen. I think we got a 757 area code listening too as well. So if you in 757, like I see this caller right here, hook up with Eternal if you're local, and maybe you guys can link up. You know, Eternal's right there with you in Virginia. So link up with Eternal. You know what I mean? Y'all right there in Virginia together. So Eternal, peace and love onto you. And we're going to break this down about this sound healing. I definitely want to get more into the Buddhist aspect in Ethiopia when it comes to this. So peace onto you.
greetings. How you feeling?
I'm feeling refreshed. Feeling great.
Word. Great.
Yes.
Yeah, this new era always is a new era of the old era, the Eon and Neo. We're into this matrix, Maatrix, so tricks of the tree, how we get cures. Cure, of course, is the ka, not just in it as a seed, but cake has been the reason why we end up eating the cake in the first place, to blow out the fire, not knowing it, of course. The natal chart to our natal cake, how we've been eating our own cake as belly ache and headache and heartache. But really, are we in tune with the sounds that ache and echo? Ache and ek makes an eek sound, especially when we streak like a car. Do we actually see how our car or carpet as pit being a pet? Carpentry, Trigus Megistus, we know that we have a key, a monk with a key and chi, how to use your breath. So the breath, along with this, makes keys chords. And so what chords do we play as we hear sounds travel? They're through different types of hittings and sounds of hittings coming from different angles of hits. And that, of course, gives you angles, angels. How were angels or angles were arch, arch being a degree. How do we see 96 shades of degrees, as we call skin, and what we call it sin with a key, not knowing skin. So the key of knowing yourself is to get more in tune with your P. Of course, we say P, but some people say pie. That's what a pie. It's not just a pizza that you eat, but it's from the A to Z and Z to A, as we say A-Z. We're learning our easy as lines, and easy line to be on our point of now new carpentry. How do we see the car in the pit? Or is it a pit being a pent and representing our pent like pentagram? We use grammar. So now in our grammar, is it G with RAM or RAM being grammar, being gramifications? Our E equals MC square equals mass times its weight times its height. Could be how much space do we really see. Now it's by value and volume. So when we say value and volume, do you really hear the sound as a pitch and a pitching fork? We're in a fork of four with a K, but not hearing the K is, of course, corrupted. We don't see it as a C. Then C also is conniving, like a C could be. That's how we seesaw ourselves, cutting and not seeing the balance as you seesaw yourself. What is this merry-go-rounding around and around we go? The constant and the present. So you have to present yourself as a pre-send yourself. So now in your present, are you rescinding yourself as in a recent to yourself? That's why sound is an echo. X back the thought. X makes the point of a chromosome like crom or chrome. How do you see Rome? With a K or with a C? It's a church as Kirk. Now how your Kirk is captain or captain being a Kirk, or is it a Kirk cone and can't see the cone from a Kirk? You come out of the corner and now you know the conical sun. We've been created by 5 points to be a star. You're on a stage. Yet are you on a stage or do you see your age with a stagnant of age in it? So when I say S with a T, is it that the R was first before S? And then it became T, R being 9 and S being 10 and T being 2, as a 2 is in Taurus and second to the thought of what Scorpio could be. From head to tail and tail to head, we done spoke our tail and tail our heads out again. So now from head to toe, do we see from head to toe like head to tail? Is it our tail that we keep speaking on or do we keep telling it? Is it relevant if you don't know how to keep revamping your own self as a vent? It's a vent for events. So eventually you'll get what I'm saying. Otherwise, you'd be caught up in the ENT versus the VENT. There's a V with five, and five is a V, but yet we use five as six. So scared of me would be 7, 8, 9, 10. How do you 8, 9 yourself to 10 again? That's why it's a 1. We come back from the sun. The origin of zero, of course, we came from the mother. We call it nut and now nothing. That's why nut is that connection to what new is. We're a new people all the time, a new being. So how much ren and renew do you say when you say your name? Do you sound through your sounds or names like syllables, like siduals, and now your siduals are syllables and how you sound is how you pound and compound the thoughts in your thoughts, and now being round versus flat to your thoughts. You're a plat to your thoughts. So now platform your thoughts versus just form, and not seeing how you the F with arm, your thoughts, like arm. Arm is still arm. It's just a different way of how you alarm yourself with all and arm. It's the L being 7 upside down, if you couldn't tell from your head. This is why the scales have to be 7 in scales. You hear the ring. Of course, it comes from the 6, being how 6 is scared. But yet, it's a 2 of the 6 when we say 26 as a alpha to the B and beta. And then, of course, C becomes a different way of speaking. We change it. So it could be different things in how we speak and tone ourselves. We're attuned and atonement. So how do you tune yourself? You have to tune yourself as that fork with the fork in the road, past, present, near, future, and the part that's still untold. How do you see your trinity? See, when you was a child, you was 0 degree until you start seeing 1 as a decimal from the fraction to be. Now you're a part of the fraction. Now faction, you probably didn't see unless you're stuck in fashion, and now not culturally. How do you get to 5 in the first place without seeing yourself being alive from 1, 2, and 3? 4 being a window, now being a door, and as you door your way through, adore yourself as a deer. If you couldn't see deer, then it might be the fear, fire, earth, air, and rain, your 4 base plane of how do you pick up anything. You might pick up a coin, but is it a coin that you're picking up or yourself? 1 cent, 5 cent, 10 cent, even call it 25 cent to be a quarter of your mind. Yet there's 4 quarters to a dollar. Now how you dollar bill yourself when you feel yourself? Or do you really feel yourself when you pay the bills? It's a vil or evil to yourself when you event yourself. You're an inventor. So what are you inventing as you tour yourself? You a tear? If you're a tear, then you just touring yourself. See, this is how Taurus is to reign itself. If you can't see the Taurus from the bull or the bull from the Taurus, how do you see the woods from the forest? As a gump. Now jump in that. See, we jumping ourselves back into who we are. So the best thing to do now is to tune yourself. Atun, atun, atum. See, atum represents your sphere or your fears. So if you're in fears of yourself, then it's not the sphere of yourself being spheric to yourself. Can you hear it to yourself? See, the supreme of not just me or my is also self. So how much do you use self that self becomes now selves? We're at a point where we put it on shelves. So now how is it just even for shelf being shelfless, not just shiftless? And they call that a nigga. But now we can know the word naga as a serpent, snake. Not just a snake, but one who connects to the serpentine energy. Shake yourself. Quake yourself, earthquake. You're the earth, so heart yourself. Earth and hearth is earth, as in earth being a hearth or heart with heat in your helium of self. He, heal, I am, self. How do you use your hydrogenated self and oxygenate yourself? Play the tune. If not, what tune do you say to yourself? You might be using the mantra that you haven't been using for yourself yet.
I'm sorry, y'all. My phone was muted. There it is, y'all. There it is. All right, man. Okay, guys, we got 35 minutes left in this live hour, guys. So if you are listening online, you may want to call in now, or you may want to call in, you know, closer to the top of the hour. The number is 929-477-3423. You do not have to press 1, guys. You can simply call and listen. So, Eternal, there's a lot of things that I to cover. You know, I hope we have enough time, but there's a lot of things that, you know, I want to get in. Just to let the audience know, Eternal has submitted a few articles for, you know, everyone to kind of research. You know, first article that he submitted was an article about the alternative, how crystals became the wellness trend of the moment. So let's talk about crystal healing, I guess, first. Let's talk about sound healing first, because the sounds, the chant, the let's talk about Buddhism, I guess. So Buddhism And, you know, the song that I had just played right before we came on was Tina Turner. You know, I had to put Tina up in here because she was one of, you know, they laughed at her. You know what I'm saying? They laughed at her. They said she had, you know, she was going against the grain, you know, but she was one of the ones that I remember as a child, you know, who had the courage to go against the grain, and they all laughed at her. But now as I came into spiritual, you know, understanding of sound healing, you know what I'm saying? So let's talk about sound healing and how it relates to Buddhism.
Yeah, you have the Gohanzen, where you sit in front of. The Gohanzen basically is a mirror, and we use a mirror to reflect ourselves. Now, of course, we use caricatures, which are symbols, our sigils that we put also on it on a scroll. And this is like to be touched by no one, but, of course, the incense or the smoke of the invisible air that we don't see. And this is what you basically connect yourself with as a Gohanzen. We call it an altar and alternate, an alternative. And this is where medicine plays its biggest part. Medication is meditation. If one can meditate even better, if it's sick without that hesitation of saying, I got to get up and do something, when you are doing the nothing, is something. And now sound actually having a reflection to open up the senses we call meridians in the body. Being that there's 12 meridians like there is 12 zodiac signs, we actually use the clock all the time. It's just on our own body that we don't see inside as inside is out. Of course, when we say out is in, then we see as above, so below. We have a north of our head and south of our feet. Then, of course, there's the east where your heart is, and then the west is where your back is, a cold shoulder we will be giving other people. Now, of course, if you look at what Buddha is one who's to awaken oneself. Now, of course, a lot of people decided to become different and say that they're not like the dialect who became the first to actually give out this Janus connection. And then, of course, it got down to Kali Ma to now Mahayana. Now, of course, we get this Mahayana from Mayans, and now we hear Mayans, and now we hear Mayans being who they were as Aztecs, and Aztecs as Toltecs, and Toltecs was known as Olmecs. So we get Olmecs like we get from Hawaii, our Samoa, Samoans, Samoa, and now Samoa like Samurai. We hear Samurai coming from Japan. And, of course, when we say China, we're saying China. So China is also key to your Na, not knowing the Naga. But yet the Naga represents the Southeast Asian concept of what we were saying, our Buddhist people, who, of course, Nati Nats, with the knots on the head like a snail, showing snail as like the Fibonacci that they use of a shell. And they put that on the head, showing that we're connected to these people, but not saying who these people are. Instead, rubber people, as in rubber people from a rubber tree land. And now that tree is a banyan tree that most people use now to this day in Hawaii. They're still symbolic to know that they traveled from that side and traveled all the way even over here to Mexico. You can see what Kevin Hart over here taking pictures of himself in Mexico, letting us know that it's the international of who we actually are and what we were. This is a Mexum, West a Mexum. So we hear West a Mexum like we have East a Mexum. This is where the central also became like Middle East, where Sheba as Saba, Saba as Shaka. That's why we use the word Shaka, because it's explaining how the Panthers became this as well. Is why Shaka Khan also took on that energy. And to go on further about it, Ike and Tina, when Ike was around and separated from Tina, this is where Shaka comes in the ball. So now you see how there's an evolve and how we comes from the snake, the cat, the panther. But the snake being who we can consider as the cat being a lion, because a lioness also explains that. Why did Tina Turner have her hair so spiked up like it's gold? And only expression was she really showing majority of was her respect and how she had legs. She even made a song, though. She said, I'm a dancer for money. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'm your private so-called dancer. That might have went a little bit far left, what we didn't realize when these shoes start speaking Buddha and saying Buddha, but yet you're going to strip for me. So now we know that that's not really the case that all of us really know about. Yet at the same time, we know about Zen being Buddha. Now, Zen being from the Japanese connection, Japin, we're saying Jap and with Pan. And now, of course, you know, Pan is nap backwards. So a Pan is how we've been in a panther connection, not knowing how panther is with the Asur and Asur connection. So now, who's the whore? We created ourselves to become one without seeing the leg up or leg in and ledge in. This is why Easter is the same thing as Mother's Day. Just don't see how to word that wordplay. Eggs. Eating eggs like an egg being a Cornish to a hen, and a hen being a chick, and a chick being chick hen. How foul is that? But yet it's nine endings to a baseball game that they hit with a ball and a bat, making three innings to how an end comes from a chick and a hen with an egg, but an egg being our ego instead. We are what we eat. My eye, as the diamond being a demanding of thought, we also didn't see Buddha as Buddha. So now Yuda, Buddha, how is it yogi if you didn't see yoga? Now yogic, as they've been putting yoke in our thoughts, and now ego could be the thought. Now it's a yellow belly like it was Yellowstone Park. How is the park still connected to the zoo and zoomorphic? Because it's totems and how we keep speaking and pronounce it back to ourselves. This is how we announce it. This is a spell. We said the Big Bear, but we don't even know or even care. Do we see it as a Big Dipper too? This is what the view is outside as you. As we are, the star, a star, where we get this Star Wars in the first place. That's why Yoda is Buddha. And we haven't seen that since the green being a star. So we say, where is this different from who we are? Even for the greetings as we greet each other. We even say, good to even mourn. Why would you mourn a more? You mourning a more for reasons? Or is it a more love? And now you mourning that type of reason for your seasons. So we have to become more of knowing the more as a mon, and a mon as a mon, as in a month, M-O-O-N-T-H, with now M-O-N-T-H, month. And now the months and the moon days or Mondays, as if we're mooning ourselves right in the beginning of this wordplay. We got to get out of the spell. So how do you get out of the spell is one, two, who have now awakened. We say nomo, as that's what the omex are, versus namyo. See, we're devoted, but not knowing which one. So nomo horenge, as you say in horenge, the connecting, but the cause and effect of self. So now what is the cause and effect to self? Kyo, the lotus. How much do you see of your lotus being a star lotus or the lowest part of the lotus? See, you're low to do all the us, but not in a lot, like a parking lot. They give you a lot. So that's why it seems like it's a lot I'm giving you right now. However, a lot is just a little to what we park in the parking lot. See, these words are still connected to everything as art. It's an S with smart when they put it small with art. So now, are you painting your pain or are you painting your pain? And if you are now painting out your pain, can you see it as art, as an artist? See, it's now your artistry, even in tapestry. We become this tree, this trinity, this three. It's no longer the sitting in a circle and can't find out how you cipher yourself. No longer the one and being just one at Neo and don't see how you win when you won already. The tool is just a duel, so don't just tool yourself with a duel or use this weapon without seeing it as a tool, because it also could be a toy once it's being pronounced as being the adult, when an adult can just be a girl or even a boy. How do we pronounce ourselves in knowing Trinity? Not to say you're fighting each other, not to say you're just in the duality, but the Trinity of your 30, when you get to 30 in your age, do you see the difference in your stage? Can you use it like 369 or 360? The 6 and 9 is really where it's going to be at, where we're seeing our cancer coming out of ourselves as the answer is Ka, what answer? So you've got to connect to your Asurs. Your Asurs is your Usirs. Your Usirs is the words. And the words, how do we say user words, like a user as a player now, player words. P would lay and lay in words, but lying is how you've been applying your words. So now how are you lying down? Or are you lying to yourself? Align yourself. Don't just lie to yourself. Make yourself better than just the animal, any male, not even a male, because he's an anti male, to not even knowing how to mail, because it's a post that's postmarked itself. Now, the whole reason why I'm going all around in circles, because Mex, as in Mexico, like Texaco, like Texas, is the X in us. But we don't see it as a plus sign. We see it as a time sign. So when you get up, you're out of time of your sign. But it's your signals that you keep giving yourself. So now how do we echo it back out where it makes sense to yourself, even if you was the S with H and out yourself, like shout. It's a spout to your pout. So don't pout it out. Get out the doubt. Get out the doubt that's always been in the spout. If you could change your route, it's a definitely in and a out to self. This is why it is us, and we call it just us. It is just us, not just Jesus, but that's how Jesus became Jetsus, and Jetsus is Jetsons. So if you're into jetting yourself, project a better project of yourself. Get your digits as your digitals, your tens as your fingers, and become digital to the other world that was analog, as they cut a log, another log, Anna being a log, but Anna being a nasty to a spider. They gave you the I Ching. How do you use yourself like a key and keying yourself? You're a monk with a key, not just a monkey. Animal instinct is just for zoomorphic people that don't know the zoo from the park. Now you don't know from the woods to the park, or the park from the woods, or the woods from the forest. This is why it's good to know yourself as far as you can. Because for real, it's not about laying down because you're tired. It's about how you recharge yourself. You're charging yourself constantly, Taurus. So don't terrain yourself as terror to yourself, Taurus. You have a Horus like a horoscope. So don't just keep using it as hours and not see Horus as hours. H-O-R-U-S. That's why our time of the hours is O-U-R-S. And now hours is the power. Once you change your mantra, it's how you change up how even the Nagas and the Buddha, because we smoke incense all the time. It's to see your past and your present, and now how you align to what is present and present. If not, you didn't percentage yourself as an age to what yourself is doing in ages. Sages is to help the body. But if you don't see it, then you might have been just eating soft sages. Know your sage. We're able to sage ourselves. You can do it. And if you can't do it, find someone who can do it. And then you know conduit. That's why the conductors are you putting yourself back in to be or not to be. Forget, put them together, you got tube. So you're in the tube of yourself. Know how to tube in. You tune in all the time. So now how do you attune yourself like a ton? You're in a line when you use your chakra signs. Put the colors back on you. Put the color spectrum around you. Make the shapes become more than just a dot. Go past the dot and see it as a circle and a sphere. Don't be in fear, but see all the fears, the atmospheres, the attuned spheres in the body. Check out and see what chakra you are today. Put a color on and maybe you want to reflect that today. Matter of fact, do you see the day as day with A? You know A is an actual wizard, right? A-Y is an A. But now, of course, the A is alpha and the Y is a chromosome. That's why we end up using these letters. We don't know how much do we PH1 ourselves and we call it a phone. You're in the ET. So as you are the extraterrestrial or the extraterrestrial, because you're is the Esther to Easter. That's why you use the leg up in the first place to see the bunny getting bit or ate up by vultures. It's only to see how Mutz is a tune without an A. You can see Mutta backwards, but if you take out the A, you see Mutz. That's why they also call Mexicans Mutz. That's why they call them Mestizos. But they're not Mestizos. They're the Olmecans. That's why we lost ourselves and we're looking for ourselves again. So it's the time you reflect yourself again. Tune yourself as the energies that you are. Turn on the music, the vibration that tunes you better than the lowest of the vibration. And when you speak it, you should be able to speak this to a child, and the child will even pick up on it. Now, if you're speaking stuff that a child should not pronounce, maybe you shouldn't either, because that's also going past your body but into yours. Now that's what you hear as you hear it. See, we've been always eating the wrong foods and now eating the wrong mentality along with the foods. So when they say you sit at the table, are you eating the same food? Because if you are, it might not be on the same blood type. And if it's not only blood type, would it also be just the idea of what your zodiac will be? There's much things that got to actually look at, and just yourself. How you communicate with others is very important, because maybe the only place you can be is by yourself until you do. Tune yourself. That's what Nagas do. Nagas being a Buddhist, how the Buddhist from Japan that was changed from the Southeast Asia that came from African. So we hear Can like Shaka Can. That's why the name wasn't just her name. It was a stage that she put herself to be. This is why even Tina Turner became this other one who came out of the Zen to see herself again, just like myself. My father's name is Sam. You know he did not like the word Sambo, but I had to go back to Sambo Judasia to find out truth about just the word and how the word could be negative, but it could be also positive. Find yourself. You're optimistic. So all you got to do is remind yourself. Become a recorder. Record even the tunes that sound great to you and play it back so you can see how better it could sound when you play another tone to yourself too. And when you add that, you can see how wordplay, it's not just wordplay, but also tune, how you tone yourself with tone play. Do your thing. You're here. We're all here. We're all here to help you. So now all you got to do is just reach out. It's not the idea of worrying about possibilities. It's the idea of pushing your strive. Strive to do. Strive to do. Don't say try, because that's not even a word. That's a spell.
Yes.
Try. If you're going to say try, say triad, triangular, trivial. Use these other words. Don't use these words that's keeping us holding ourselves back. Don't say the word but. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good, but. Blah, 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 blah. You know what comes after the but.
Everything before.
Comes out of it.
Yep. No, everything before, everything that comes after the, wait, excuse me, when you say but, that means everything before the but was bullshit. You know. Yeah.
That's real. So we got to know what B and four is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Know your B four.
All right. So if you are listening, guys, we got 16 minutes in the live hour, guys. The number to call in is 929-477-3423 if you want to continue to listen. You will be cut off in 16 minutes, guys. Let me go ahead and go to these callers just to see if you guys want to, you know, chime in. We're talking about sound healing and crystal healing today, guys. And Eternal pretty much has given you a blueprint on the importance of sound. You know, the importance of what we are putting into our frequencies. You know what I mean? When is the last time we did a self-evaluation? You know, I always speak on the self-evaluation, guys. And what I mean by that is sometimes we got to check ourselves, you know. Be like, okay, wait a minute. You know what I mean? What am I putting into my body? Eternal speaks on the food a lot. And I am starting to see the importance of the food. It took some time for me to really, truly understand the depth of the food being like one of the main sources, you know, because even in my fast that I did for like a week, I noticed a difference immediately, you know. And when I start fasting from alcohol, you know what I'm saying? In that week that I fasted from alcohol, I noticed the changes, you know. So just, you know, someone told me, if you're going to do a fast for like 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to, like, you will be grateful and thankful for the change. You would thank your body is what I think they told me. They said, you would thank your body. Your body would thank you, you know, for that consistency. I said all that to say that sound, when it comes to sound, you know, what the instruments, you know what I'm saying, the violins. When is the last time they have local symphonies? You know what I mean? In your local city, you know, when's the last time or when have you ever even thought, you know, instead of catching a rap concert, you know, go to a bass hall, you know what I'm saying, and catch a symphony instead on a Friday night and with some wine or something like that, you know, like start to incorporate, you know, just different things, you know, as far as the number five is concerned, you know, start to have fun with change, you know, change doesn't have to be this hard thing that we are just resistant to, you know, have fun with it all. When it comes to healing, you guys, you know, I like to have fun with my healing, y'all. Y'all will see me doing some crazy shit, and, you know, people like, you don't take shit serious. It's not that I don't take it. I am taking things serious. It's just that I feel that I don't have to suffer when it comes to change. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Eternal, I'm done talking. If you want to go ahead and add it after your ad in, we'll bring in these callers. Go ahead.
Yeah, the idea is you got to, like, see it as not just history or her story, because her story hasn't been met yet. We're still meeting it. That's why Ma'at is there. Meat is Ma'at. So when we eat food, food becomes Ma'at, just like our words are becoming Ma'at. So letters are Ma'at. We're using Ma'at to become Ma'at. When I use the I on it, it represents the mathematics of Tehuti along with Ma'at. And that's the connection of how you use 11. 11 really represents Ma'at. So whenever we're going into Ma'at, we're going into the last airbender. Now, of course, we use the airbender as the first airbender in the beginning without knowing, and that was Gemini. Gemini represents the three, the Trinity. So when we're talking about two, two is just a figure of speech, but it's also the duality of things. So, but when I put it to become seven, here it is being the invisible, not seeing it as heaven, the Libra. The L-I, the L being seven, I being the nine concept, and B being two, and then, of course, we got three, and there's the five. How do we connect back to these connections of ourselves again? And how do you see the numbers not only help us, not numb us out? That when we see the numbers, can we use it just like crystals? You know, you get one flake, like a snowflake, that has one side, and we call it a circle instead of any other shape. And then, of course, there's the triangle with the three, but we didn't even get there because we need the two of how you see snowflakes. How do you see it become one, two, three, four, five, and all the shapes of even to a Merkaba, to even a decagon, into how shapes become our imaginations, just like how these crystals crystal your mind. Your shape of the three being a separation of the circle is how the Gemini connects the gem in I. We all have a gem ability. We just don't use it in that same aspect. If we look at it better, we'll know it from how the Taurus being your Taurus or your Thoroscope, how you horoscope your thoughts from the five. Five being Heru, how do you use your heart with two and the three being five? How do you use your two as in the Taurus, that's after Aries, the Taurus, and then Gemini being three? How do you use your five being two plus three? How do you use the saying, I have, because that's what Taurus represents, in Gemini, I think what I have. So now what the five will be, but the will of how you have it. There's points of how mantras are all the zodiac signs. Use the zodiac signs as you would use the numbers. Use the numbers as you would the zodiac sign. And then, not only that, tap into your body parts and you start to see how you're using, I see, comes from the Sagittarius concept of how I see to now how I use, which is the 10, the Capricorn concept. We all have mantras. And I'm not saying it like I just pulled this out of thin air. I'm pulling it out of the stuff that's everywhere. We just haven't used it everywhere like your hair. Your hair is hierarchy, and that's why we say hair is hierarchy, but we don't say hierarchy, we say air. And so A-I-R-E is also the same A-I-R. That's why hair also represents H-R-E. It's a rabbit. It's a raw, and it's a bit of raw. So if you know how to use just a little bit of the raw, you can use a lot of it. We call it ray, then it became raw. Ray is the inside. That's why it's called raw in R-E, raw in ray, rare. This is how rarity it is, but you're a cat. So how do you purr yourself with perfect in yourself? So even perfect is how you use your sun as sona, and solar is your sun. So it's in your heart. It's a solar So low could be how Solomon or Solomon could go. But this is where the shepherd and the Sherman or the shaman would say the lion went everywhere that Mary went, because the lion became a lamb, and out like a lamb, in like a lion, or in like a lamb, out like a lion. Now we know what we're lying about. We're lying about the Aries being the head and arise ourselves in our heads, but we might not see that instead. I mean, using other things to congratulate yourself to being who or graduate of yourself to be. That's why we in a gradulator of ourselves. We're learning how to granularly be ourselves. That's why you take it as a piece of grain, as salt would be. That's why crystals are important. How much crystals do we really have of ourselves? It's actually said to be up to 6 as your birthstones, but we don't travel that far to learn that. So now how much do we travel inside of our mind is outside of our mind and time? X is still the plus sign, but that plus sign and the X sign is still 4. And that 4 is still what we call the Roman numerals, being an X. That's why you call them your X. But not knowing your X is like not knowing your Y, the chromosome. This is why we say, why did I marry him? Why did I do this? Why am I doing that? Because you need to point it out. Even when you put the points together, you can see how the Y is really a point. It has 3 sides. They all went inside to each other. That's why these sides are 3. Still a trinity. And once you know your trinity of yourself, you can point in and out of everything. Because even as point having edges, that's what new ledges is. We got new pledges as we ledge ourselves as no ledge. So now when we write our words, are we pleading to something that we didn't see? Instead, we need to see it as seek it. So now you can seek yourself with other ways. Use the crystals, put it around. Get organized. This is how you change the radiation. You're a radium. So you're a ray of light, but not the ray that they made you raid your light, be afraid of your light, that you see it as dark. And now dark is the part of where they say departed is. As it's been art, now you art it, but you dart it. As you've been darts thrown at a bullseye, but don't see the BS from your bull's eye. It's a bull, but a bull or not Cain, because you're Cain and Abel. You just don't know how you can and how you're able to do it. It's through Set. Set being a Seth between these two, but it's a trinity, not just two as these brothers dual. They're sons. That's why purr is a cat, but also per son in persona. So how is your sound when you reflect out sound? Is it crystallized like your mind? And can you use crystals to actually tune yourself while you're in tuning your mind? This is how you use the salt, not just to be a salt, but pillar of salt that makes a pill to you as a salt. But there's the pill in R, R being raw backwards. Don't just be a war, W-A-R. See the raw, R-A-W, like a stone. And don't just keep it as it's tumbled. Also use the tumbled as you would a raw. This is why you aura yourself. You're the aura of yourself. So how do you use your aura, not just roar to yourself? You're the hardcore to yourself. So now get off that mountain that you're on, go on back to the shore, and see how sure you are of yourself. Paddle yourself with your aura to yourself, as your aura can help you too, because that's the oracle. Isn't that right, brother?
Okay. All right, Auntie LJ, I see you. Before I bring you in, Auntie LJ, go ahead and do that. Okay. Callers, yes. Let's go ahead and go to these callers, you guys. So when I come around to you guys, what I'm going to do is I'm going to speak your area code. And just, you know, you can simply tell me that you're listening. Or I know a few of you guys are just listening. So these two callers look familiar, so I'm going to go ahead and call on you. Just simply tell me if you're just listening. I know you appreciate listening to the show. We definitely appreciate you for joining us each weekend. So, yeah, area code 757-647. 757-647. Do you want to add, or do you have any questions about sound or crystal healing? 757.
No. No, I'm just listening. Greetings, everyone. When you mentioned earlier about connecting with Eternal, I actually did connect with him through my auntie, who's also on the call, because she's more social than I am. I'm extremely shy. But it's been a blessing, you know, being in contact with him and you know, I just appreciate this call because with my spiritual journey, it has definitely been enhanced by these calls on, you know, Saturday and Sunday. And I'll be stationed here for about 3 years, so I have plenty of time to get into contact with them.
Okay. All right. Beautiful, beautiful networking. I love it. Well, thank you, you and your aunt. You know, she told us last week that you and her are both listening every weekend, so we appreciate both of you guys for your consistency in listening. I'm really glad that it enhances your awareness, right?
Yes.
All right, so let's go ahead and go to his auntie, right? So area code 251-643, area code 251-643. Hello, I believe it was Monique, if I'm not mistaken.
Hello, greetings,
you kind of breaking up. It kind of sounds like a computer.
Well, I know the podcast is buffering today from everybody.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it happens. But the beauty is we just go on because the playback isn't like that. The playback is always clear. So,
okay,
how are
good.
You?
Okay. I'm doing great. You said how old I am or how old I am?
No, how are you today? How are you today? And if you want to add to the conversation,
I'm doing great. I had a podcast going. I had to stop and do my little meditation because I had gotten it in today. I talked to Big Tom this morning before the podcast, and he helped really great too. I'm having just an obstacle that's in my way. I think it's always there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just struggling with that because, you know, my kids are involved with that. And I don't know if anybody has kids, but you know, the trouble with being at the kids, the close proximity, it's kind of hard not to react, but I'm trying, you know, I'm doing my best.
Okay. I just want to let you know, I don't know what's going on. It's not going to even, it's not going to even allow, you know, you to talk. I don't know if you can hang up and call back, but you got 2 minutes. If you can hear us just fine, I'm going to go ahead and mute you because it's not, for some reason, it's not allowing on your end for us to understand you because you sound muffled. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and mute you. But if you want to, you can hang up and call back if you want to ask a question. But if you're just listening, you know, you can just go ahead and continue to listen because we can't understand you for some reason. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. All right. All right, you guys. So Crystal, Sound Healing and Crystal Healing. Let me see what Auntie LJ said. So Auntie LJ, it's you guys just know that we have technical issues sometimes, but don't nothing stop us. You know, we're going to keep going. And we always keep going. We push through the technical issues and all of that. You know what I'm saying? So, Auntie LJ, peace. I know you're out of town. Are you in a position to speak or, you know, you just
yes.
Hi, peace. All right.
Peace and love, family.
Yes, we're talking about sound and crystal healing today. I don't know if you caught any other broadcast, but we're talking about sound and crystal healing.
And it's so funny because I have a 3-week-old nephew that I just met yesterday, and sound has been so prevalent for him. My brother is like, why he's so attached to me? I don't know what to do. This is driving me crazy. And I said, because you wear him in your shirt next to your heart. So you're giving him the beat of your body, your drum. And so he notices that there's a different heartbeat with everybody that holds him. And he knows the difference, not to mention the pheromones of the smells. So when my sister showed up, which me and you'll later on that, but my sister showed up, his mother was like, it's almost as if he knows y'all. Why do y'all get him and put him in y'all's shirt? And I was like, it's tradition for our family that when you come in contact with an ancestor that is connected to you, you wear that ancestor next to your body so that ancestor recognizes you. So the, then the baby's able to smell your smell, feel your pheromones, understand that you're a safe space, you know, all that you bring. And so the baby's. It's not necessarily that you know what ancestor, but what our babies' ancestors return. So,
so this little boy,
they know. Mm-hmm. And what's ironic mm-hmm. is because my brother kept saying, you know, I don't know. There's something about this baby. He was born with six fingers, so they cut his fingers off. I was like, ah, why'd I cut his fingers off? Like, let him grow into what he came with. Don't take it away from him. But he had six fingers on each hand, and so they removed his fingers. So when he got to me, he was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. My brother said, oh, my God, it's like he know you. And I said, hi, Papa, and he responded. And I said, this is Daddy. And my brother was like, he looked like him. So I started going through my phones and pulling up the pictures, and the girl was like, oh, my God, he do look like your grandfather. I said, and he has my hands. He has my feet. I said, just you can look at him. And we can't deny him. He looks just just like Daddy. And so my brother was like, no, I can't deny him. It's 99.999. I said, that's us. And so, you know, we're just loving on this baby. So today he heard my voice, and he started cutting up because my brother had me on the speaker. He says, he knows you. I said, he'll know anybody that allows him to know you. Babies come to teach us. You know, and so these vibrations of my crystal, he was rubbing on my, I wear a particular crystal regularly, and he was rubbing my crystal, and he was playing with my unk on my hand. He was drawn to the brass that I wear. And my sister was like, he's so attentive to you. And I'm like, these are all energetic devices that I wear daily to keep my metabolic and soul body in tune. So he's tuning himself to me. And so they were like, wow, this is crazy. And I'm a baby.
Yes.
You know, we come already knowing. We just have to grow into our knowing. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, the music, as the music played in the background, he was looking for the music and listening to the sounds and the vibrations of different things, and he was cooing with the music. And I'm like, this baby ain't been here 30 days. How he know how to coo? Like, what is going on with this baby? Oh, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Little
that
old
is not
man?
A baby.
Right.
You can look at him and say that now.
Yeah. So, you know, these vibrations, like water running, he would listen and turn his head to listen to the water. He was just really in tune to what was going on around him. And, like, you know, he had this face like, oh, that's different. Oh, this is new. And I was like, what? And him and MJ, they babbled together. And MJ thought he could just take him like he was some kind of doll or something. I had to keep protecting him from MJ. MJ just wanted to take off with him. But it's amazing how children will teach you vibration, even in their play.
You hear me?
You said what?
They're going to fly off together. They're going to fly off together.
You
know MJ
a fairy. You know MJ a fairy. MJ trying to take him out. No, don't come here. It's not nice here all the time.
But it
was amazing to watch MJ at 9 with all of these limitations that he has with, you know, them saying he has Down syndrome and them saying that he could be autistic, and watching him with a new baby an experience for all of us, and how they, you know, he's rough, but once he understood that the baby was gentle, then he would just use one finger to try to touch the baby and stuff. So even he was learning from the baby sounds and stuff what the baby liked and what the baby didn't like. And so when the baby would start crying, he would go and he go get the bottle or the pacifier and come back. He tried to put the pacifier in the baby eye. We just like we said, we were protecting the baby, but he was trying
to
help.
But he naturally knew.
But he naturally knew, though. That's amazing that he naturally just knew. Yeah.
Right. He was watching what we were doing and then doing, you know, that as well.
Yeah.
So it was it was interesting to watch even that. So we've been enjoying, you know, the family. I was able to see sisters and brothers I haven't seen in years. I've got new nephews all over the place and new nieces. I've got two new nieces and a nephew. And my nephew's one.
Okay.
And then the baby is 3 weeks. So, yeah, we have the 3 week old baby, the 1 year old that I had never saw, and then I've got two other nieces that I had never saw, and I was just in awe in Auntie Heaven with all of the little babies and how they moved and interact with one another. And it was funny because one of my nieces, she kept touching my face. And I said, you know, that's a sign of trying to remember. People who can't see well, that's how they remember your face, by touch. And she kept touching my face. And my sister said she does that to everybody she meets. She walks up to them and she touches their face. And so I thought that was really unique about, you know, my niece and how she would communicate with the people who she was told it was okay to be with. She walked up to everybody and touched their face and felt their eyes. And I was like, well, is she blind? And they were like, no, she ain't blind. That's just what she does. And I thought it was so unique on how touch and vision still play a major role in our senses of communicating. Because if you're lacking one thing, your body naturally will use another thing to allow you to see or allow you to hear, allow you to feel what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And these heartbeats, y'all, our heartbeats speak a our heartbeats speak a language that our voices and our mouths have yet to be able to communicate. Because children know good people and children know negative people. Automatically,
yes, and so
it's
do
not
animals.
A taught behavior, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a taught behavior. They're sensing in the now where you're and if they can be comfortable with you or not. So my next goal is to give. I'm going to gift all of the nieces and nephews the grandfather crystals. And that's going to be something that I'll be doing. I'm going to start gifting my nieces and my nephews crystals. My children already have them.
Nice.
But I'm going to invest in allowing. The grandfather quartz is the quartz that helps to amplify and support every other crystal. So I'm going to be allowing them to be their crystal, and I'm going to gift them the grandfather crystal. The clear quartz.
Anybody can buy this grandfather crystal, right?
Anybody can buy the grandfather crystal. It's the clear quartz crystal. It's the grandfather crystal of all of the crystals. And that crystal helps to amplify the individual because we are crystals. We are minerals. We're copper. We're we're melanin. You know, we're all of these things in this physical body that we have. So when you wear a crystal, you're amplifying that part of that crystal that is you. That's why in gifting crystals, you know, you want to set intentions of that being in alignment, but it's always important to wash and clean your crystals for yourself so that you as the individual can then amplify for your individuality what you want that crystal to do. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to sage some crystals and, you know, put good intentions on them and gift them. And when they become of age, I'll teach them that they can now implement the crystal for their individuality.
Nice.
When that time allows itself.
But see,
listen,
I had chills just as you were saying that because, Auntie, what you know, I love the fact because you're setting the tone now. I don't know how many families or what percentage of our families are teaching our children spirituality at a young age. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to speak in lack of what you know, but I know there's like a few generational gaps to where it wasn't taught. So I'm saying all that to say that it's beautiful just to witness you even saying that you are willing to even teach that to them. We need more of that in this world.
And I'm going to say this to the community, to the community. If your children like to play in mud and dirt, and if they collect, like, you know, when I was little, we used to have pet rocks. I didn't know anything personally about crystals, but I always would, if I went to a park, it would always be a rock or some kind of mineral or something that would attract me, and I would put it in my pocket and bring it home and keep it.
Mm-hmm.
So these are us communicating with nature, not even knowing that we're doing so. If your children like to play in water, monitor them, but let them explore in nature.
Yeah. Let them
be
themselves.
Because the dirt is a mineral. The dirt is the dirt that they're playing in is a mineral. So let them walk in the mud. Let them walk in the grass. Let them stand on the roof. You know, let them touch certain bushes and plants and stuff. My mother used to love pussy willows. And she would get them and she would, you know, play with us with the pussy willows because the little circle, the fuzzy part, was really soft. And so she would play with us at the parks with the pussy willows and, like, teach us touch. You know, you can grab a pussy willow, but don't run up on the roses because the roses protect themselves. You're going to stick yourself if you grab a rose wrong. But you can grab a pussy willow and it won't hurt you. And so we learn these things as children in nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so allow the
children
to explore and just be a watchful eye when you're out in nature. And if they want to get a rock and put it in their pocket, let them get it. That rock may be a mineral that you are not aware of, that child needs for a form of healing.
A download that I'm getting real quick is that, you know, just I'm not a parent, you guys, but I observe, okay? And one thing that I've observed just this week, I observe this all the time. And even with the animals, when I'm at the dog park with my dog, you know, it's like what I see the dog or I see the kids, and I see the dogs, they're in their own zone. They're doing their own thing. They wanted to explore. They wanted to, you know, they just in their own imagination. You know what I'm saying? And I see the parents, don't do that. Stop that. Do this. Don't do that. That's bad. That's out. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, this is our issue right here. That program that we were taught, we project that onto the kids, cutting off their imagination. Y'all remember when we used to play with the cars and the dolls, and like you said, you had pet rocks. Do kids do that anymore? Do they?
And when y'all go to the beach, watch how your children will dig in the sand and pull up seashells and different stuff. If they want to keep that stuff, allow them to, so that they can show you what they're creating, because you don't know what they're doing. But they're doing it naturally in their playing, and they're showing you something. They're teaching you. You know, Mommy, I need this seashell. Mommy, can we bring some seaweed home? Not even knowing that they can eat the seaweed. You know?
See? But you don't want that in your house for whatever reason.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, yeah.
That's dirty. That's nasty. And you mess around and be looking for sea moss, and your baby out there collecting seaweed. But you don't want to touch it. It's dirty.
Y'all
but it's in the water.
You can make some money off of. Y'all love money. Well, you can even
Eternal
make some money while you tripping. Okay, Eternal, go ahead.
Eternal wants to add.
All right.
Yeah, there's a point where the older and the younger, how do they relate? The sounds help that, you know, the part of how we forget what the familiar sounds were. And then, of course, the young one gives us the tune that we've been playing. I've seen it for myself. I had a 64 brother in age play, and we're in the park, and he helped vibrate the younger generation. He helped the younger generation and playing the sounds. He didn't say, play this beat like this. He just said, just play with your heart. And then they start playing. And then he was able to go in between, around it, over it, you know, and through it. And it was just that beat that they were coming up with. He said, keep that beat. you know, encouragement. What we lose, like you said earlier, is the discouragement towards, don't play that because that's not yours. Or get off of that. That's, you know, you don't belong to that. So it's like, oh, get off of it. You don't know how to play. You know, so do we encourage our children to have the rites of passage? Do we show them that this is how you can get the rites of passage? And then, of course, like how we were saying earlier about how we invoke fear. How are we saying, get down before you hurt yourself? Now, see, I told you you were going to hurt yourself. Now, Kuya said, let's show you a better way of getting on that. Or, come here, let me show you something else. You know, get them off of it altogether. You know, there's other ways that when we get this attraction, do we really see it as the attraction or is it the distraction that causes us to go real, you know, on the negative side towards it? And so are we in tune with ourselves, you know? And we got to tune up.